Well, we come to that time to be able to take in the words that our brother has in store for us and the words that the Lord has put on his heart. He had mentioned to me as I shook his hand that he has been sick all week. So as soon as I walk down from here, I'll be washing my hand. But nevertheless, I am grateful that he is here with us and among us and able to speak the word of God to us. Being sick, it's very difficult, and getting energy and getting up and going, it's tough at times. And you know, it reminds me a lot of times when I get up for work and it's just I'm exhausted, and you know, I scooch over to the side of the bed, put my 2 feet under the ground. The first thing I do is ask the Lord for strength and say a prayer to help me through the day, because you know, every day is a challenge for us. And so at this time I would ask that you would lift our brother up as well, because you know, every day can be a struggle, especially when you're overcoming a sickness. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn over the pulpit to our brother, Jerry Case.
Thank you, Gary. I'm very pleased to be here. As he told you, I have had the flu. I didn't actually realize it until Friday. I went to the doctor and they did testing on me and found out that I had the flu. But I've been on medication for 3 days, and so the Lord's blessed me. Yesterday, I slept throughout the day. Last night, I got almost 12 hours of sleep, and I really do feel good. I actually got up and took a walk and put my clothes on and washed myself and got ready to come over here. I'm feeling pretty good. I thought I would wear a jacket tonight, and I just don't think I'm going to make it. It's hot. Sorry. My message tonight's pretty straightforward. So I'm going to start. This is my message. It's the 33rd verse, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 chapter, 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think, you know, here, when I ended up scheduled to preach tonight, I didn't actually realize at the time that it was kind of our first sermon for the year. And I didn't actually realize that, but I think it's appropriate. This is a time of year where lots of times we traditionally set up New Year's resolutions and try to make plans for the future and figure out what the year's going to be, figure out how we're going to get our income taxes paid, you know, whatever the current thing is on your mind. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to go back. You know, when you write a paragraph, when you're learning in school, you start with a introductory sentence, and then after that, each next sentence is support for that introductory sentence. It's introduce your topic, and you talk about it, and then at the end, your last sentence is a conclusion or a summary sentence, and I feel like that's literally what I read to you, and that the rest of what I'm going to be reading as I read the rest of this chapter is still all about what I just read. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Matthew. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. So it starts right out. Don't have other reasons. Don't have other reasons for what you do. Do it for God. You are seeking first the kingdom of heaven, or seeking first the kingdom of God. So don't do your alms before man to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. And I'm not going to stop each verse and modify it to remind you, but keep remembering, we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Kind of a scary statement when it keeps repeating it like that. They have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And I do want to stop and talk just a little bit about when we pray. Gratefully, I feel like, you know, sometimes we get together and we have a particular thing that we need to pray about, and we pray. Earlier in phone church, they did the same thing today, and I know you did earlier today too. You got together, you reminded each other of people who are particularly needing prayer, and you knelt together and prayed before our Heavenly Father. But what I feel like I say in Thanksgiving is something about the state of your heart when you do that. That you're not doing it so each other can hear each other. You're doing it because you're talking to God. And He's not a name you call on. He's a person. Someone who hears. He's that great and last high priest. Jesus is that one that is touched with everything that we have felt. He knows already. So when we pray, He hears. And our intent is of Him, and our intent is toward Him, and not to be heard of men. But thou, when thou prayest, this is verse 6, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And this literally talked about getting into your closet. And I feel like we need to do that every day. And in this occasion, I'm talking about getting away where you can pray and you can talk about things between you and God and not worry of what people might hear you say. And I know that, you know, one of the things I've found in common with churches, often there's people in them. Go figure. And sometimes we really have trouble with what we hear. Sometimes we don't handle it well. And so you need that occasion also where you can go and pray about things openly and you're not worried about spreading a story by praying. Where you can pour out your heart. Where you can talk honestly and openly about the things that are going on inside of you. We need that too. Private prayer. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when thou fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I think of treasures in so many different ways. Our treasures are the things that we value, the things that we try to collect. It's like it can be money, it can be work, it can be power, it can be worldly glory. Many, many things can be a treasure to us. Friends. So many different things can be a treasure for us. But where you really value most is where your heart is. And that's what I'm speaking to here. If you're going to seek first God's kingdom, that's where your heart has to be first and foremost. And every other thing, any other agenda, has to fall before that primary purpose of seeking first God's kingdom. No man can serve two masters. Verse 24. No. Let me start with verse 22. The light of the eye is of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So this light that our eye needs to be single toward is God, towards his kingdom. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is my message today. And I want to present you with some tools in this quest, in seeking God's kingdom. And I'll also present you with some cautions also. To start with, I'd like to turn over to the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. And I want to talk about you, each of you that have been baptized, each of you that have made a commitment unto God. In my Book of Mormon, it's on page 163. So, chapter 14, first verse. I'm just going to read the first four verses. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. And I ask you, what do you do? Who are you? Are you a new husband, a new wife, trying to set up a life, set up a foundation for a life, and it's here. It's feasting on the words of Christ that you seek over all things. You seek the kingdom of God. And you do so by feasting on the words of Christ. And when I say a caution, well, Jerry, you say that so easily. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I read now and then and so forth. But I think we need a different understanding, maybe a deeper, more urgent understanding of what it is to feast on the words of God. And just let me ask this question. This is what? This is a Bible. How many religions claim to be founded on this book? Any ideas? Thousands. Thousands. What's this? Book of Mormon. How many religions claim to be founded on this?
Hundreds.
There are many, many, and they keep appearing. Just more and more. And the reason, as I read to you what I read to you here in the 14th chapter of the second book of Nephi, it talked about speaking the words of Christ by what? Do you remember what it said? Huh? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't let anything in you take that for granted. That's primary importance to us. And I want to remind you also that when I speak of the Word of God, I speak about more than this and this, because there's another connection. There's another connection. John, first chapter, first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus is the Word of God. He brought the Word of His Father to us. It's what He represents. This is what the angels were talking about when they came to the shepherds in the field. They were talking about this, the Word of God being brought into the world. Good tidings of great joy to all people. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And I think of every minister that stands up here and attempts to teach, to inspire, to bring God's Word. And our intent is not like this. Karen, can I have you stand right in the middle of the aisle? And look right at me. Keep looking right at me, okay? But I'm going to step aside, and I want you to try to not look at me, but keep right looking right where I was. And what do you see?
I see you, but not, I see Christ.
You see Christ. Have a seat. You get an A. I don't have a treat. That's why we stand up here. We want you to see Christ. We do not intend to get in the way. Parents are the same way. When you try to parent, you try to teach your children about God in a way that when you can no longer be there, they still have Christ. And they have learned to hang on to Him. And when we speak of that rod of iron, do not connect these written Word of God from Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. Or from the Holy Spirit. We need these, and we need them always. I heard a sermon last week, and I was the unfortunate agent of surprise. I didn't know it. In Phone Church, my brother asked me at the end of Sunday school, if I would take charge for Mike. Mike Hitt was supposed to preach. And I just couldn't believe it. I was delighted. He had lumbar spine surgery 10 days prior to that. 10 days prior to that. Amy's not sitting here. It's been a lot more than 10 days. Well, we had taken our break when my brother asked me that, and I said, sure, I'll take charge for him. And so we waited for everybody to get back from their break, and we started church, and we had prayer, and I introduced the speaker, and then I said, and now I'll turn it over to you, Mike. And he stepped right up, and he gave his sermon. He didn't let on. He did say, forgive me if I have trouble. He said, with this medication I'm on, I have no recent memory. Everything just slips right out of my mind. But he gave a powerful sermon. And it became way more powerful for me at the end of the sermon when I thanked him. And he said, well, I wish you could have been here with me. I said, oh, really? Why? He said, because you would have seen my jaw hit the floor when you said, I'm turning it over to you, Mike. He said he had completely forgotten. He had no idea he was supposed to preach. The reason I tell you this story, actually, he emphasized later in his sermon. He talked about how when he went to his doctor and he found out he was going to have to go for surgery, that there was no other choice. He said something happened within him that he looks back on, and he felt like it was a learning experience. He said, wow, I'm going to have surgery. This is dangerous. This is risky. It may turn out to be more extensive even than they thought. And so he prayed and he prepared for that surgery and what the eventualities of it would be. And he said, deep in my heart of hearts, I want to be different than that. He said, I want to live prepared. I don't want to suddenly have to try to prepare. And I think all of us catch ourselves all the time in that frame. We have so many things in our minds. I remember our brother Placido up here preaching, and he said he called them distractors. There are so many distractors. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's got to be a way of life. Your normal way of getting up and putting your foot one in front of the other in the morning. Your normal way of laying yourself down at night. Your normal way of going to work. Your normal way of making decisions. It's all around seeking first the kingdom of God. And because we don't know the day or the hour of his coming, because we don't know when we may suddenly have to have surgery, because we don't know when there may be a car accident. I'm talking about things that all sound sad, but in the end, the intent is not that they're sad. The intent is something that we're all born for. To spend eternity with our Heavenly Father and to be ready, to live ready, to live ready. 1 John first chapter I'm going to start with verse 5. Excuse me. Verse 5, first chapter of 1 John. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And when we choose to seek first the kingdom of God, it really does end up being all about what it says here in verses 6 and 7 too. It isn't just about this way we believe. It's the way we walk. If we walk in darkness, you know, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When we have decisions at work, you know, it should be a primary thought that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. I had an HR manager once, and they were about to fire a man. And I guess in this world, he had earned it. But this HR manager spoke up, and he said, I want to speak of something that I think is the right thing to do. And so everybody said, what's that? He said, I understand that this man is in trouble. Do you know how long he's had this same behavior? And people were humming and hawing around about a little bit and finally said, well, actually, it's been as long as I remember. And he said, then who taught him it was okay? Let's teach him it's not okay and give him a chance. Let's tell him we won't put up with this anymore and that he can't do it anymore. And then let's give him a chance to change his ways. I've just given a small example of how we need to address God, to kneel before him in prayer about all the things we do, all the decisions we make, those that affect us and our family that we definitely are living. Help me, help me. I'm living this. I need help. But we need to address those concerns in the decisions we make that are about others. To do the right thing. To seek first the kingdom of God. And with the reminder that he is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Look at the things you do. They must be in the light. We must walk in the light. I had an uncle that quoted his daughter one time. She was praying, and she was that age where you kneel at your bed and you got two choices. You're so small that you kneel beside your bed and your head's nearly under your bed, or you stand beside your bed and kneel. So she was very, very young, and she said, one of the things she said in her prayer was, help us to do right things. Help us to do right things, and that's my prayer tonight. that be a primary desire in all of your hearts, that you walk in the light. Psalms, the first chapter, I want to tell you another story, and this is to emphasize the importance of what I'm saying. That as you set up your priorities in life, as you set up your priorities for this year, seek first the kingdom of God. And it's really the only thing that's important. Everything else then falls in line. Does that mean everything always goes right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that that will take care of your eternal soul. And that will be a light to all others around you because of the way you are walking. My grandfather loved to work on the railroad. Most of you don't know that. My grandfather, you knew him as the most dedicated minister. You could go to his little bitty house, which incidentally was a remodeled chicken house. And you were welcome at all times. And he would sit down and expound the scriptures. I remember when I was in college, during breaks between classes, I would go over to church and he would be there in the office and I'd sit down and talk to him. Yeah, we knew him as a dedicated minister. But you know, when he was working in the railroad, he had a good reputation. And he was a big guy. They called him Big Jim. You knew him as Maynard, but his name was James Maynard Case. They called him Big Jim. He was known. They could have four guys lift up what he called a frog. It's the little knuckle. When trains come together, the knuckles grab like this. They're somewhere north of 300 pounds. And four guys could lift those up, one of them up, and he would get under it, and they would put it on his shoulders, and he would carry it across the train yard. He was a very powerful man. I don't know if you remember, he had enormous hands. But at the age, I think, of about 22, he had a terrible accident on the railroad and crushed his hip. And from then on, he did other things. He was crippled. He walked with a cane. But he had trouble walking with a cane. It made his hand sore. He never could find one that worked. Until finally, one day somebody said, "I know what your problem is," and they brought him one of these. Looks like a cane. The name on this one says Rural King. I don't know if that gives you a hint or not. Do you know what this is? Well, what you usually see is one about this tall. The end is the same, but it's tall. You see Jesus carrying one. What is it? It's a shepherd's crook, and the curve on it is a lot bigger than a regular cane. And with his big old hands, it fit. And so they brought it to him, and he tried walking with it, and they put a rubber knob on the end of it, and it was just perfect. It fit. And he said, "What is it? Where'd you get it?" And they told him what it was. It was a shepherd's crook. So he walked with a shepherd's crook. And he didn't work on the railroad anymore. And years later, he was married. He had kids. And he set to fasting and prayer to get well. He'd been in pain for so many years. And he was going to ask God to completely heal him. And so, he prepared urgently. He fasted and prayed And he knew exactly when to ask for administration. And he came prepared. And he knew even who he was supposed to ask. And so he did. And he came to be completely healed. And the Lord spoke to him directly that day and told him he was pleased with his preparation and that he could heal him and that he would not. He said, if I heal you, you will return to the railroad. And I tell you this because I want you to understand how important it is that you seek first God's kingdom. It isn't that you are the happiest in your employment. It isn't that you're at your optimum state of wealth or health. It's about your soul. It's about your soul. And so he walked for the rest of his life with a shepherd's crook. I think it's kind of emblematic. So he was the man you knew. And he was an example. May we all be. But you know, it's not for our glory. It's because when we seek first God's kingdom, we show forth that light, which is Him. Remember, you can't abandon these. You can't. But connect it. Connect it. It's not about two books and words. It's about the Word of God, Jesus. We can't abandon it. My prayer is for you. I believe that we have been given so many excellent, excellent sermons lately. I believe that surprise, life is an open book test. We used to get delighted when that would happen when we were in junior high and high school. But it is. Take advantage of it. But don't read a verse here and there. Don't study to support your belief. Study to know the truth. Read everything in context. We don't want to be just one of thousands of churches. We want to be hanging on, built upon the truth. My prayer is for you. May God strengthen you, give you courage, set your foot right in all your decisions. And some of them will be hard. I don't know why this is on my mind right now, talking about hard decisions. I remember a particular moment in time, and it's funny when you might say things. My wife squeezing my hand to death one day, bit me on that same hand within a few minutes, said, I don't think I can do this. And she was giving birth. There are things in life we do have to go through. We have to do it. But He is with us. And He is the master of the outcome. Seek Him first.